What's up?
There he is. Howdy, Mike.
How have you been, man? How you feeling?
Oh, I've seen better days. I know.
Sure.
I look like a homeless Jesus right now because I have. I don't have a home, but I also haven't shaved at all and performed several miracles.
If it makes you feel any better, neither did Jesus. So you just look like Jesus.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, homeless Jesus is just redundant. Oh man,
homeless Jesus is just Jesus.
That's just plain old classic Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't need to say carbonated Coca-Cola. You just got to say Coca-Cola because that's what it
exactly.
Is.
Yes.
Well, how have you been? I love the, it almost looks like you're in a chest right now.
Yeah. You remember that movie? It's totally cancelable now, but it was called the Indian in the Cupboard. That's what happened, man. I used to be a toy. Kid threw me in this cupboard. Now I'm a person.
Oh, but you're stuck in the cupboard. That is.
Yeah, I'm stuck in the cupboard and I podcast from it now.
The boy was nice enough to put some audio equipment in there.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah, he put some audio equipment in here. But yeah, I mean, I've gotten all kinds of stuff. It's just like it's the my bed frame. And people are like, are you in a library? And I'm like, no, I mean, it's just my, I don't know. But yeah.
It's my bed frame from the Victorian ages. So
yeah,
I just.
Yeah. It's my bed frame because I live in a library.
Yeah. It's my bed frame DIY. I took all the bookshelves from the library and I crafted them to help me sleep.
Exactly.
Better.
That's what I used my library card for. What have you done with your life?
Because it's a metaphor because we're all books deep down. You in between the shelf. There's a lot to Mike Valdez.
Everyone. Heck yeah, there is. Oh. Yeah, man.
Well, I mean, what better place to open that book than a comedy advice podcast?
Absolutely, man.
With me, your host, Stefan Satani. And everybody, if you're wondering who is this beautiful voice that's not Stefan Satani, it's comedian, actor, singer, multi-hyphenate wonder. And he's got an excellent bedhead. That's it.
I do
Mike,
have bedhead.
Mike Valdez, everybody. Clap,
hey.
Clap, clap, clap,
clap,
clap, clap, clap, clap, clap, clap, clap, clap, clap. Oh man, welcome. By the way, you have no bedhead. You have perfect head.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. I'm having one of those weird hair days today, but that makes me feel a little bit better.
Oh,
we'll see.
Dude, you've got a nice, it's almost like if the Nike swoosh was just reversed. You've got that
right?
Beautiful, just like
wave.
Yeah,
that's actually where I got my inspiration from. I saw the swoosh, it said, just do it. And I was like, I will.
except it's upside down. So it's like, don't do it. Don't do
it. Exactly. Telling other people, don't do this.
It's the anti-swoosh. But yeah. It's wonderful. It's very avant-garde. And I feel like it just matches the whimsical personality that is Mike Valdez. Which,
oh, thank you, man.
I mean, what can't Mike Valdez do? I was listening to your...
A lot. Quite a bit, actually. How much time do you have?
Well, I've got plenty of time to talk about the things that the Mike Valdez can do.
Yeah.
But the things that you can do very well, stand up. Congratulations on that. How long have you been doing stand up, by the way?
Oh man. I think technically it's been 6 years, but I don't count 2020 because I didn't really do anything. 2020, so I guess 5 years.
Right.
Yeah, okay. About that. I started in Los Angeles and then, which is crazy because a lot of people wouldn't say that you should start there. That's kind of where you're supposed to end up. But for me, the way that my brain works is that I saw that everybody was better than me and my head was just like, well, you either get good or get out. And it made me get really good really quickly. I'm glad that I started there, actually.
Oh, that's excellent. It's a chuckle catalyst. And I mean, obviously, by the way you do your hair with the anti-swoosh,
yes.
Mike Valdez doesn't do things by the book. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Even his bedstand. It's not by the book. It's by the bookshelf. But
yeah.
5 years, And now you're in Florida, correct?
Yeah, okay. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where family is. So COVID doesn't exist here, but...
Oh, great.
At least the culture doesn't believe in it. It still exists, but there's a lot of people that just don't agree that it's an actual thing, apparently, or at least that's what they are showing by their actions.
Oh, man. So. And I was going to ask if, by the way, listeners, for those of you very concerned at me and my cough, I recently had COVID, which was not a fun experience. Now the antibodies are coursing through my veins, but this is my first podcast in 11 days. It's been a long time. I feel so pumped to be back into it. I'm sure I'm going to die after I finish this podcast, but maybe. Yeah, I mean, who knows?
You're ending on a good one.
The best one. I was like, who can I end on? Yeah. Oh man, which
you're ending on a good one, man. Yeah, I just hope you have an editor, but
it's me, but I'm just going to slide this one to live because I don't know, I might perish before or fall into an eternal slumber.
Yeah, we'll see.
But
I hope
not. Oh God, can you imagine? You see the next day, podcaster dead after magnificent episode with magical anti-swoosh. Michael,
I would feel so. I would feel so bad.
No, don't, because I'm just living my life to the fullest over here, podcasting. Yeah. I've basically been quarantining. I don't know how I got this, because
I was gonna ask you, how do you think you got it?
I'm not sure. I was screaming into the mouths of strangers, but beyond that, no, I don't know. You know what? I think I went to a comedy show. I did go to a comedy show, but that's where I think I got it. I went to go see, I had Eric Griffin on my podcast, and then I went to
I listened.
Oh!
You saw him and Michael Yeo. I know too much about your life.
Oh, yes, and I'm going to have Michael Yeo on the podcast
coming
up. So
he's a really great guy.
He is a stand-up guy. He's just so nice. And I bought some of his merch. I'm flaunting my shirt, but it's not Michael Yeo merch. But I got a little shirt with a panda on it. And it's adorable. It's adorable.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But anyway, were you next to me? Was that you next to me?
I wasn't. No, okay. It wasn't me.
I saw a little swoosher, but I didn't know if it was.
Like, somebody else trying to be me.
A lot of wannabes. But anyway, I think that's probably where I got it. Even though we were... Stand Up Live was the venue that they had it at, and everything was partitioned. My wife and I were far away from pretty much everybody. But I guess maybe laughter isn't the safest thing to be doing in a closed space because everyone's going, ha, ha, there's my air. Yeah. And so...
Yeah, of course. I completely agree. Yeah, it's tough, but... I don't know, man. I mean, I also think that, you know, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it at this point. That's kind of how I saw it, or how I see it, is like, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. Obviously, don't go, you know, spitting in people's mouths and things like that. But at the same time, you got to live your life, man. I mean, it's difficult being inside of the same four walls for a year, you know, not doing anything. Like, who would have thought that indoor dining would be something you like craved for, you know?
Right.
But it's a weird world right now.
Yeah. It's such this weird, delicate balance of like, do what's safe for others and then also for yourself, because you have to really be cognizant of how you're doing mentally and be able to, I think you can do things safely. Having this being said from a guy that just got COVID, but I think
you can do a lot safer now because now you can't get it anymore.
Exactly. I've got those delicious antibodies just coursing through my veins. So I triumphed. I beat COVID. I beat it down hard. Bam.
Yeah, well, man. It's I've had some scares. within this past year and a half, I guess it's been maybe a year. It feels longer, but yeah, I've had some scares and I swerved them, man. I got real lucky. I swerved them. I took those tests and they were like, nah, it's a negative. And I'm like, all right, sounds great.
It almost makes it sound like a pregnancy scare. You just buy a COVID test and go pee on it. And then you're like, two lines COVID, three lines COVID and pregnant. Like,
well,
oh,
I did pee on them. Is that not how you're supposed to do it?
They're like, take the swab, piss all over it. Yeah, I believe that's how we do it in Arizona. We're sprayers.
Yeah, so. That's the right way to do it.
Oh, man. So, also, beyond the stand-up, you've also got a wee little podcast called Childlike at Best, which I had the pleasure of being a guest on. And it's just a whole lot of fun. It's a wave of nostalgia, which is what my review is going to say when I post it up on Apple Podcasts. But it's just it's a lot of fun. But don't take my word for it. Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about the genesis? Why did you create this podcast and why the theme?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I've always loved podcasts and I've always loved talking to people. And my favorite thing to talk to people about and to like nerd out about is nostalgia. You know, I like Nickelodeon, I like Disney Channel, all those different things that we grew up on. And I basically set out to do a podcast that was just a comedy podcast where I talk to people in the entertainment business because I have all facets of people that I know, from musicians to comedians to actors and all that stuff, and kind of just learn about what it is that inspired them to become entertainers. And as the show went on, it started developing this new meaning, at least to me, and I started looking deeper into it, and I started realizing that who we were as children really kind of mirrors who we are now in a lot of ways, because that was the kid that had the dream. That was the kid that had the magic, so to say, that the world wasn't telling them that they couldn't do it yet. You know, they were just like, I want to be an astronaut. Give me a box. Here's my spaceship. Let's do it. And I just found that to be like a much more deep thing. And you know, in all reality, my favorite conversations to have with people in general are conversations that are very silly and also very vulnerable at times, because that's just real. We're connecting with each other. And any dingus can make a podcast about Nickelodeon, you know, and right. The thing is, what made it me and what made it personal for the show was truly not only reminding myself and the guest, but also the listeners to never lose their sense of childlike wonder, because that is the thing that is going to remind you where you came from and also remind you the journey that you've taken to where you are now, which is easily lost sometimes.
That is beautiful. Is that the secret to how you also appear so young? How old are you, by the way?
I'm 33.
Wow! Yeah. I think we talked. Did you hear that youthful scream of mine? that was almost like a Yahoo. I feel like you are forever preserved at age 16.
I hope so, man. It's a good problem to have. I mean, the people ask me this all the time. I'm very lucky. I just have no idea. I think it's just part of my genes. It's part of the Cuban lineage, you know, where we all just look young. I mean,
there are cigars and no wrinkles. That's what the Cubans are known for.
Yeah, there are just some people that, I mean, it sounds funny, but it's just true. Like, there's a lot of people where they just look 18 until the day they look 100. And then that's it. You know, that's like all you've ever looked in your life is 18 and 100. You know, so I hope that's what happens to me, man. Dude. We're like, it takes a while for me to look 100.
Well, congratulations on that, because you're looking great. I feel like I think I have it in the cards where I'm going to have a time freeze gap, but it's going to be like 40 to 60. And it's going to be because I'm bald and people can't tell how old I am and I lose all my hair. And I'm just going to look like Bruce Willis did until one day people are like, dang, Bruce got old. And that's going to be me. So
Yeah, man. I mean, and also the good thing is as well is like, guys naturally, for some reason, guys naturally start looking better as they age. So that's always good, you know?
Yeah, I wish that was the case.
Men have like that. Men have like that gentlemanly look that they don't get until they're like 30 or 40 around there. I haven't gotten there yet either, but I'll get there. once I pass puberty, it'll probably happen.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think I may have skipped that part, and I just went into old guy that lives in a cabin because now it's just. I don't know. I'm just brushing wood chips off myself. And I don't know. There's like maybe I sweat maple syrup. I don't know what's going on with me, but I think I just need to shave the beard. Maybe that'll bring back the youth.
Maybe that you sound like Mr. Woodchuck from Full House. Like that seems maybe when he grew the beard, he turned into a puppet that Dave Coulier uses.
Perhaps that is true. I have felt something lodged in my ass as well, so that might be Dave Coulier's hand just controlling me.
Have you been wondering why everything is made of water?
You know, I have. That's been very strange. So maybe
we're getting closer and closer to what the problem is.
Maybe I got the COVID from Dave Coulier.
That's probably it. That is it.
Case cracked. So,
K-plus.
All right. Well, a comedy advice podcast is all about giving advice and self-help and all that good stuff. But before we dive into that, I just wanted to step on the brakes and pause and reflect on your music as well. I was listening on Spotify to Mike Valdez and The Noise, which I thought at first The Noise was maybe a rapper, but it's the ensemble of just you and your noise. You're beautiful. Yeah. I don't know how I would describe it. It's not quite pop punk, is it? It's almost like pop punk slash there's a tinge of Christian almost. And I know that listening to other podcasts, you had been part of church bands and things like that, which I myself had been. And but how long have you been playing that sweet, sweet music? And how long has The Noise been a part of Mike Valdez?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been playing music since it's probably the thing I've done for the longest besides acting, but it's, I've been writing music since I was in maybe 11th grade in high school.
Sure.
None of those songs were good at all. I mean, we talked about it when you were on my podcast, like I was in a lot of really bad bands and like, you know, all that kind of stuff. At one point I just started creating this project and, it used to be called On the Contrary and it was just me and I would just do like acoustic stuff around the area and I would tour it, you know, and all these different kinds of things. And that's how a lot of these songs kind of came up. They all started very acoustically with the intention to be a full band. I just could never find one. And so it got to a point where I wanted to finally record my first album. And when I did, I came up with this idea to call myself Mike Valdez and The Noise. Because the noise can be interchangeable, meaning that I can have different band members and you know, and of course, if all goes according to plan, Mike Valdez will always be there, you know? So that's kind of the reason why I decided to call it that. And also just because there was a deeper meaning behind it as well. Like I've always been fascinated by noise because noise is something that travels. And you can't stop hearing it until people stop talking about it, essentially. So the whole idea is that it'll start from my head to the stage, from the stage to the audience, from the audience to the next person who then comes around full circle. So the whole thing is that the noise is kind of a communal experience as opposed to a band name. So that was the idea behind that. But yeah, when it comes to like what I write about, I've always just written about girls, man. I don't really know how to describe it. You know, like I've always been like that. And like, it's funny that you say that it has this Christian undertone, which is great. You're not the first person to tell me that. But if you were to actually like read the lyrics to a lot of these things, it has the undertone, but the purpose is for it to be kind of satirical. Because, you know, for example, there's this song called Sanctity, and that's actually a song that has been universally liked by all different kinds of religions and things. And, you know, where they've talked to me and they're like, you know, I know it's like technically about Jesus or whatever. And I'm like, it's not really about Jesus. It's actually like my personal problems with the church. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I use those chords in the song, is on purpose, because I want it to feel like a worship song. You know, I want it to feel like one of those church songs. And then at the bridge where it says, you are the future, you are the voice, so don't make your mouth a weapon and rather go out to the world and make some noise. And then it goes into like a group kind of like chorus where like the intention is supposed to be that the church is now singing, we are the future, we are the voice, and we won't make our mouths the weapon. We'll go out to the world and make some noise. Mm. So that's kind of the idea, is like from growing up in church and things like that, I always felt a little jaded. I've been a little right. jaded because right. it's very judgmental in a lot of ways. I'm not saying every church is like this. I'm not saying every person is like this, but in all reality, the sad thing is that the reason why religion doesn't work and the reason why politics don't work is because people are involved and
right,
people are flawed,
right,
you know?
Right.
So,
no, I totally agree with you. And I remember back when I had a band, I also had a song called Sanctity, but it was nice. Just about some titties that were so nice. They looked holy. So
I mean, let's be real. Titties in the name.
I apologize for that joke. I will cut it out of the podcast because that was horrible.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. That's great. That was great.
But
please.
Man, I just feel I am not worthy for the complexity of thought that goes behind Mike Valdez. Well, it goes inside Mike Valdez and emanates from Mike Valdez. So
I'm just a dude, man. I'm just a dude. I was just thinking, I'm just a dude and life is a nightmare. I'm just a dude. Now it's I'm just a dad, but
oh God, man. Oh, well, beautiful. Well, you know what? You're gonna be perfect for some advice that we're going to give. So before we crack into it, I wanted to ask, because I usually, before we get into the questions, I like to get us nice and jazzed, inspired yes. with an inspirational quote. So before I provide the one that I have, I like to ask my guests if they have any inspirational quotes that help get them through their dark days, or ones that they just really hug tightly, like a page to a book, or maybe a book to a bookshelf.
Yeah. Or a bed to a bed frame.
Or a bed to a bed frame, keeping it all together.
Yeah. Okay, so the first one I would actually say, man, after having listened to Eric Griffin say this, oh, what a quote, dude. it's you don't fail, you just quit. And it's just like, oh, what a quote, dude. Love that inspiration
yes.
so much.
Yes.
That was so sick when he said that. That's like the best thing off of that episode that I got, where I was like, wow, that is inspiring. Of course, I would say Steve Martin has a great quote that says, be so good that no one can ignore you. Another one that I was thinking of was, you can teach a man to fish, but if you teach a man to become a bear, you don't have to do anything at all.
Is that a Valdez original?
Yeah. I just made it up right now. And when you think about it, it's kind of true.
It's the grisly truth. That's what it is.
If you can teach him to become a bear, you don't have to fish at all.
Yeah, you just got to press pause and, you know, let the bear do its trick.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, beautiful. I can't bear anymore. So we will move on to my inspirational quote. And this inspirational quote is by none other than a robot called InspiRobot. And what its main purpose in life to do is, it takes AI, takes some of the wisest words known to man or woo man, just mashes them together for a beautiful, delicious inspirational quote. So this week, Mike, let me know what this means to you. InspiRobot says, never let nobody tell you that you are not cooking for your friends.
I don't know why that's the funniest thing I've heard all week. Never let nobody what the heck?
It looks like InspireBot's AI has leveled up, so it's getting into double negatives now. Never let nobody tell you that you are not cooking for your friends.
That is so good. That's like, that is something that is on every Bible Belt's wall somewhere. Like, you walk into a Southern home and it says that on a quilt.
Oh my, it's got it in cursive. It's sold at those at-home places. Never.
It's never let nobody tell you you can't cook for your friends.
It's probably got Larry the Cable Guy, a picture of him, and then in quotes.
It's too smart for Larry the Cable Guy. Let's be real. I mean, that's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, there's so much going on there. So it's very Southern, but it's also very pop punk, to where it's like, don't let anybody tell you that I can't do something with my friends, because I, you know, my friends over you, you know. Exactly. Very pop punk, but also very Southern. I mean.
Oh, my God. By the way, Mike, can we.
Yeah.
That just gave me an idea. Can we do like a Southern pop punk ensemble?
Why not, man?
Oh, my God. Like,
why not?
Blink 44, because Southerners blink one third of the time regular people blink.
I'm trying to think. No, dude. The name of the band is Kiss My Grits. That's the name of the band.
Oh, I love it.
Kiss My Grits. And then we come out and we're like, yo, what's up? We're Kiss My Grits from Rome, Georgia. I'm like,
we're gonna play our first song, Show Me Your Gritties, and then
Show Me Your Gritties, there you go.
Oh god,
yeah. Man, there's a lot going on there. I mean, it's also like not that deep. It's very shallow in the sense of like, yeah, you're right, like never let anyone tell you that you can't cook for your friends. And like, but also, to be fair, here's the thing, too.
Please.
Cooking for your friends is one of the top tiers of, like, love in a lot of cultures. You know, especially in Cuban culture, man. Like, in Cuban culture, if someone cooks for you, that's love. And if you don't eat it, you're not invited to their house anymore, and you're no longer friends. So it's probably just like, I would say cooking for people in general, for your family, for your friends, is the ultimate way of showing love.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think that it's like the slow, it's a very slow tantric way of lovemaking. Is it's like I am pouring my heart into gnocchi for you, gnocchi bolognese, and like my bits of me are going into that. Hopefully not literally, but I am making something for you, and you eating me is a sign of your love to me, showing, oh, I accept you and I'm going to let you enter me through the mouth, and I'm going to be nourished from your nourishment.
And there's something kind of, you know, not to interrupt you, but there is something kind of weird.
Oh.
But about like how, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or if this happens in your family, but whenever anyone spends all day cooking, which is a lot of the time at my house, at any time, or any kind of Cuban household or Latin household, the person that cooked doesn't even enjoy their own meal. They just like stare at you eating it.
What? Okay. So what Italians do is they'll do the same thing. My grandma, mia nonna, I remember she'd have her chair and she'd be up doing things constantly. So she'd never sit there. And then when she sat, she'd be like, it's too dry. And we're like, no, è buona. It's good. It's good. It's not too dry. And then she's like, a little dry. And then she's fishing for these compliments, or I don't know, maybe self-loathing on her own yolk. But like, Grams, this shit's delish. What are you talking about? And so there's that constant, it's almost like an argument. There's not even the time to be able to enjoy it because you got to have this back and forth. And then you just get used to it. So I guess that's a way of love.
The way the Cubans are though is that it's almost like they cook all day just so they can complain. Like you can't be in the kitchen. They're like, get out of the kitchen. I've been cooking all day. And you're like, I'm getting water. Like it's not even not anywhere near you, you know, but, and then if you like something, like, let's say you like something and your mom or your abuela says like, do you like it? And you're just like, yeah, it's good. And they're like, oh, it's only good. I spent the whole day cooking and it's only good. Like they want you to do a backflip, like while you do a review of their food, you know?
Oh, so yes. I don't know. Yeah, no, I agree. It's like my wife showing me a dress and being like, do I look fat? I can't, if I say, no, you don't look fat, that is not an acceptable answer, and that will award me 1 week on the couch. But if I say, babe, au contraire, Monsil, you look fab, or I say that you look dashing, ravishing, stupendous, those are the key words that make it, you know, that extra mile to get me back on the bed, because you can't just be like, no, you don't, this is okay. You look fine. No, you got to be like, you look stupendous, like an angel that went to TJ Maxx, and you know, that's just how you do it.
I would personally try this. I would say, honey, not only do you not look fat, you made everyone in this store look fatter.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. You're a 10, and you just sunk everybody else down to a 4.
Yeah,
that's how it goes here.
Man. I walked into this store being kind of attracted to everyone until you wore that dress and I realized I won.
Looking now at everybody else, I kind of want to vomit. That's how I am now repulsed by all of the other women in here because of their dress choices.
Yes, please buy that Ren and Stimpy t-shirt at
please.
TJ Maxx.
Please buy that.
It wasn't
going to
make you look fat at all.
Please buy that Ramones tea at Hot Topic. Oh my God. and she's like, we're not going to take it. No, we're not going to take it. Oh God. Well, all right. Now that I feel like we're inspired from this quote, we're going to go and move on to some questions. We've got this first question sent in by a fan that they found on Reddit. Lawrence. Thank you, Lawrence. It says, why doesn't she say hi first? Oh, sorry. Why doesn't she say hi first? Okay, so me and this one girl I've been texting, and I've noticed over the past 3 days, I'm always the one saying hi first, and she doesn't say hi first at all. Does this mean she doesn't like talking to me? She isn't dry whenever we text. The complete opposite, actually. And that's it.
The complete opposite, actually.
So she is sopping wet when texting.
So here's the thing. I need to know what that means. Because either way, I think he's not in a good place, to be honest. Because, okay.
Please, elaborate.
I'm really thinking about this. So this is going to sound so mean.
Oh, please.
But here's the thing, Lawrence. I'm sure you're a great guy.
Here it comes.
If you have to address this girl every time she doesn't want to talk to you, and if she's being nice to you, it's because she feels bad that she's ignoring you. So it's like, it's kind of twofold where, like, I mean, and that's the other thing too, where, like, let's just say let's take that whole, like, she's not dry, she's the opposite. Like, let's take that completely literal. Let's take that completely literal as, like, whenever we talk, all we talk about is sex. You're not getting anywhere with that either.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she had just gone into the rain and came back and was like, I'm sopping wet. Do you want to talk about the weather? Do you know how humid it is? It's so moist outside.
Which, again, same exact thing. You're not really getting anything unless you work for the Weather Channel.
Right. If you two are anchor people, colleagues, talking about the humidity, the precipitation, then some other things might be precipitating. However, there's a chance of no showers, of love, if you guys are not that. So I think you just got to be honest with yourself, and you got to, I would say a couple things to find out if it's true or not. Catfisher from another account, Hanning Chatham, and show a nice picture of a hunky version of yourself, or just a hunky Channing Tatum, and see if she texts him with that same moistness. Whatever that is a very weird descriptor that you have here.
Oh, yeah.
Or be like, hey, why do I always talk first? And see what she says. And then if she doesn't change that behavior, she's just not that into you. Like you said, Mike. You're going to have to, it's going to be a little wet and drippy for a little while. And you're going to have some soggy shoes and socks. Mm-hmm. But you change the clothes of yesterday and you get into the clothes of today and they're going to be fresh and you still might be a little moist, but I think you'll move on and you'll find another girl that's drier.
It's I relate to this in a lot of ways from growing up. You know, I would fall in love very easily. And I thought that this was the person of my dreams. And then, you know, I would talk to them and it just wasn't working for a lot of reasons. And, like, you know, here comes another deep thought, but, like, the truth is, when the reason why we're so entranced with our crushes is because when you don't know someone, they can never do anything wrong. So they're perfect and they'll never not be perfect.
So
that's kind of the thing where, like, you know, I completely feel for him, which is also why I was like, this is going to sound kind of mean, because, you know, this is somebody, it took me a long time to learn this, you know, but, and trust me, when you're at a certain age, you don't think that there's anyone else, but you'd be surprised at how many other people there that are out there that are so much cooler and probably more attractive, you know, because they're so much cooler, you know?
Right. Right. Right.
So that's where I would go.
So what would you just leave her? Stop texting? Would you give a heads up? 2 week notice, maybe?
I mean, it just depends on the relationship. But again, something that sounds kind of mean, but it's probably true. She probably won't care in the first place.
That might be a good experiment too. Just stop texting her, and then if she texts back and is like, where'd you go? And then that might mean that you mean something to her. But if you just stop texting and then you never hear anything back from her.
Also, here's another thing too, Lawrence, you got to be careful to not be the person that she uses. Because this happens to me a lot as well, where it used to happen, not as much anymore, but where she'll come back to you and be like, oh, you weren't texting me anymore. She's using you because she knows that you're going to make her feel good all the time. You're going to say nice things to her and all this stuff. So she comes back from that real person that thinks that she's a piece of garbage. And then she comes to you and you're like, oh, but you're so perfect and you're so this and you're so that. And then she just leaves you for some other guy that's going to think she's a piece of trash. So don't be that guy either, you know, because right. that's not going to help anyone.
Right. I think that you being so complimentary towards her might be a problem where it's okay to be complimentary and give compliments, but like a light drizzle. Don't sure. Maybe that's why she's not dry. She's wet,
there
sopping
you go.
Wet with compliments.
Yes.
And so if you are like, you're my angel, then she's going to grow those wings and she's going to fly away from you into the horns of a demon man and a piece of trash. So what you need to be like is, you're okay, but that dress, that Ramones t-shirt might make you not look as complimentary as you think. And just be honest. Be honest, because that will start to echo your thoughts. And you'll be like, oh, wait, she's not the most amazing person in the world.
Right.
And she will not use you for that delicious compliment dopamine that she'll just keep coming back to when other people treat her like trash.
Yeah, I would say be complimentary. Don't neg. You know, don't like make up lies about a person just because you're trying to make them like you.
Yeah.
But a thing that I've noticed, man, is that it 100%, which a lot of guys would be like, but that's, you know, I'm never going to get out of it. It just works out so much better if you just want to be their friend and then move it from there. You know, a lot of guys would be like, but you're in the friend zone. I don't believe in the friend zone. Not anymore. I don't believe in it anymore.
Really?
Because the thing is, if you believe you can't get out of the friend zone, you're not confident in yourself.
I agree.
You know?
Go ahead.
So, and not to mention, the friend zone is great. Like, I mean, unless your intentions were never to be in the friend zone in the first place, which like then I understand, but being friends with someone is just as great. It just depends. It depends on it, which of course every situation is different. Every person is different. I get it. But yeah, that's where I'm at right now, where like, I don't really believe in a friend zone anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like genuine connection is a lot cooler in a lot of ways. And yeah, I mean, I also have come to find that when it comes to me, I become a lot more attractive once you get to know me, as opposed to like, you know, just looking at me and you're like, I mean, yeah, he's
that
fine.
Was my quote on my yearbook. Yeah.
Was it? I become more attractive once you get to know me.
I swear. No, but I do think that is so true. I think there's a rule of two where it's like on the scale, if we are to judge people on a scale of 1 to 10, I feel like a personality can bring you up or down 2 points.
Oh,
And I feel so like true. I have met girls that at first I wasn't initially attracted to them, but after getting to know them, I was like, she is a rockin' chick. And others that I thought were quite attractive. And then afterwards, I was like, no, thank you. Nope. So it's just, and you know what?
It's so true. It's so true. That happened to me recently.
Oh, really?
like a day ago. Where like, I saw I saw this really attractive girl. There's an app that I've been using called Clubhouse, and it's like this like voice messaging app. I've been using it for networking and stuff. And there was this room that was really interesting. It was called, and it's a lot of people have been using this in dating culture. It's called Shoot Your Shot.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So like you basically, it's like this huge room and everybody's super attractive and they all shoot their shots. And then you're like, yeah. So like, are your DMs open? And then the girl's like, my DMs are open, which is like a way of her being like, I mean, I guess I find you attractive, but like, I'm just going to delete your DM or whatever. So there was one that was super interesting called Sing Your Shot. And so I was like, oh, this is really cool because, you know, not even because I find people attractive. I was like, I can hear people sing. I could sing with them, you know, that kind of stuff. And the room also wasn't about dating. The room was literally just like, when you sing, just sing to the person that you want to sing. And then they'll sing to the person they want to sing. It has nothing to do with dating culture at all.
That is amazing. That's groundbreaking. Because yeah. I feel like, oh my God, that just turned, it just made, they should just call it New Disney Movie. Because it sounds like, oh my God, I would love that. I mean, to my wife, if I could just be like, babe, I made you some eggs. And she's like, scrambled are over easy. And I'll be like, scrambled are your favorite.
I thought that was so fun. So I saw this attractive girl and I hadn't heard her sing. So I sang Eye to Eye by Powerline to her. I mean, Powerline's the reason why I started playing music, and I was like, oh man. And so I sang and you know, whatever. And then she started singing and I was like, all right, I'm out.
Oh my God. This is horrible to say. But there are some things back when I was single that I would see. Oh God, this is like beyond personality, though. This is like talents and skills and things like that. But I remember it. There are certain things.
This is what people subscribe for.
If you see them do it and do it badly, you just cringe a little bit, and you're like, one of the things. And I admit this is wrong. But I remember when I was a lifeguard and I was on swim team all my life. And so when I saw a girl and we'd be going to the beach or we'd go swimming or something, and she's like, okay, here I come. And she starts swimming like that. I was just like, I'm sorry. I'm just going to let you drown because I can't. I just can't do it. Did I freeze you? Okay. You're there. Okay.
I get it, man. I totally get it. And trust me, and look, man, I totally get it. Like, I wasn't expecting her to be a professional singer, you know, but at the same time, it was like, it was so bad that I was like, okay, this is like, you know, we can't ignore how bad this is, you know? You know?
That is, yes.
Yeah. It's like Shallow Hal, where you see someone super beautiful, but then you see the actual person inside, and it's like an 85-year-old woman who smokes 3 packs a day. You're like, I'm not into that, you know.
I get it. I totally get it. Oh man. All right. Well, we're gonna.
I think we answered that question.
I think we answered that question quite well. Yeah. So we're gonna move on. We've got a new segment, and it's called Positive Spin. And so what this is it helps train your mind when bad things happen to start thinking of the positive instead of complaining and thinking of all the negative things that are happening. Like you spill coffee on yourself, and instead of saying, darn, I have coffee all over myself, think, oh, I'm probably not going to spill coffee on myself again, and this scalding will be a cool story to tell at the bar. Or something like that. Who knows? So, Mike, I've got a scenario for you.
Okay.
You live in Florida.
I do.
An alligator does a B&E on your edifice.
Oh, no.
Do you live in a place with alligators or do you, they're nowhere near?
I don't, technically I don't, but you always kind of live in the area of an alligator. If that makes any sense.
It makes 100% sense.
Yeah. So like, I'm not anywhere near like the swamp area, but if I saw an alligator, it wouldn't surprise me, you know?
Terrifying.
Yeah, but it is terrifying.
It's one of
the things that I'm not very stoked about. I don't like alligators at all.
That's in the cons column for living in Florida. It's like,
yeah,
great weather, cons, sometimes tropical storms. And
it's a con for dating too. I'm like, she can't sing well, she's an alligator, not into it.
And alligators look like dorks when they swim too, so that would be out for me.
Yeah.
So, all right. Okay. So a gator goes in your house.
Yeah.
It goes right at, it's singing horribly. So it's even worse.
Oh my God.
If we listen to each other. So, and then it goes straight for your prized possession. What is your most prized possession, Mike?
I mean, that's really tough.
It goes for your bedstand, your library bedstand. Rips it to shreds.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, I would say like my prized possession is me, you know, or like my family, right?
Okay. Okay. So let's just go Billy Madison here. No, not Billy Madison. Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
Takes a chunk off of the old Valdez, takes off your hand, one of them.
Right. Sure.
The gator, you gave the gator a hand and it was not kind. And now your hand, you've got one less hand. So what are some positives to this scenario?
This is really tough because a lot of what I do involves having both hands.
Oh no.
Because like I can't play piano anymore. I can't really act because most people have two hands.
Unless there's like some weird Peter Pan remake. Yes.
Yeah, that's about it.
You'd be
and
perfect,
how funny would it be if it was the alligator from Neverland?
You guys meet during casting calls and you're like, oh, this is awkward. Okay.
Yeah. Like, why couldn't he just eat the clock?
he was out of time.
Yeah, he was out of time, man. Man, that is really tough. I mean, I would really have to go into my past, like, Christian positive outlook on things.
Ooh.
And be like, well, the reason why that this happened was because of something, you know, and then like, and then think of what that thing is, you know, which is kind of, it's, I understand that it's supposed to be like a positive thing and you're supposed to like it's a good thing to think that way, but also it's okay to be mad that you don't have hands anymore and now you have to make water paintings with your feet. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to be upset about that. That's like, I also believe in a God that's okay with you being angry about that. You know what I mean? Like,
hands down. Really, yeah, fair. For sure. Yeah. I think a couple of things you
so
touched on.
I only have one hand.
I was going to say a couple of things, a couple of positives. I think by now there's the technologies for some really cool prosthetics. So I think you could get like a really cool robo hand that's probably better than your regular hand. That could just play piano better, act better, everything. And so
they say acting comes from the one hand.
Exactly. they say it doesn't come from the heart, it comes from the hand. So
it's true, man. Have you seen Denzel's hand?
Oh my God.
It's an Oscar winning hand.
It's perfectly attractive too because it's symmetrical.
I'm so glad that you know that fact about Denzel. That he's perfectly symmetrical and that's why he's so attractive. That's hilarious that you know that.
I remember seeing that because in one of my college classes when I was really struggling with how attractive or unattractive I was. And then the teacher's like, well, let's take a look at why people are attractive and not attractive. And then it shows perfectly symmetrical Denzel. And then they're like, now, if you reach under your chair, you'll see a mirror with a line going right through vertically, and you can see if you're attractive or not. And then, so that wasn't a great day for me. But anyway, back to positives.
To be fair, it's not a great day for most people.
Except for I think Denzel snuck that into the curriculum and he was like, I just want people to see how handsome I am. So I think that needs to be stricken out of college.
Yeah, because
curriculum.
I think the reason why that fact is so amazing is because he's one of the very few people that have a completely symmetrical face.
Agreed.
You know, like it's like crazy. But it also the reason also why it's so interesting is because that's why he's so likable on screen, and like you couldn't tell before, like, of course he has an amazing skill that a lot of people don't have, of course he's, you know, all these different things, but at the same time, like, you never realized it until it's told to you, and then you're like, huh, that's true, he does have a completely symmetrical face.
That is, you know, that's very true. And it also detracts from his disgusting repulsive hands, because they're just so gross. And so the face just really keeps you up top here, exactly. Focusing on the good parts.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think we have properly handed off. We can hand it off to the next segment. Going to the next segment. Oh, so we got more questions. This next one, it's by fan Tara. Well, she found it from Reddit. Thank you, Tara.
Fan Tara.
Thank you. And she says, a long-lost pen pal stopped writing letters to me. How can I find out what happened to them?
I mean, really? Follow-up question, Tara. Really?
I think that your friendship has lost all of its ink. The ink has run dry on that relationship, and now you're done.
There's a crazy ink that a lot of people have been using called the internet. and you would love this ink because you never have to go to the store to buy anything else.
it's an eternal well that you can just pour into your DMs.
Yeah, you would love it. It's great. I mean, the thing, look, I'm not a fan of it, but at the same time, I am a fan of it. It's a yin and a yang, and we're gonna talk about something serious right now, but it's just true. Please. Like, Facebook is a great thing. You know, it's a horrible thing, but it's a great thing at the same time. You know, because you can find so many people. Like, look, man, this actually just happened recently. I never, hardly ever go on Facebook unless I'm promoting something. And at this point, I don't even think people look at those posts because that's all I promote is things I'm doing and right. Never anything else. I never post my feelings. I never post anything or memes or anything. And so
those are the only two options you've got. Feelings, memes, nothing else.
Feelings, memes. And that's it. And like, and for some reason, if you post really good memes, everyone thinks you're a really good comedian, which I don't know what that means, but okay. My old choir teacher's husband had an idea for their 50th anniversary to have all of the different kids that she's taught how to sing, to make videos of them singing, you know, songs, originals, whatever, to make this like super deluxe birthday video thing. And, you know, long story short, man, I haven't talked to her in quite some time since I was in high school. So, I mean, at the very least 2 years. Oh. Yeah, 20 years. at the very least, a year. You know, I mean, it's the oldest person to graduate high school.
But you snuck it in there because you look so darn youthful.
That's so funny. It's so funny. I'm very mad that I didn't come up with it myself. But you know, and it was this beautiful thing, and he ended up shooting like her reaction and posting it and sending it to me. Aww. And it was the most beautiful thing. And like, and at that moment I was like, this is what the internet is for moments like this, man. Like, you, if you want to know what the internet is for, watch videos on YouTube of people from the army coming back to see their family. That's what the internet is for, dude. It's the most beautiful thing on the face of the planet, and it allows you to be able to keep in contact with your family from all over the world, and all these different kinds of things, and friends and all these different kinds of things from all over the world. But then it's also a place where you can find drawings that other people have made of you having sex with your dog. So... So it's a yin and a yang. It's, you know,
very strong yin and yang. It's just, yes. Ooh, man.
Yeah, but it's true, man. The internet is like love. It's like anything great. You can't have something that amazing without it being equally as horrible. Like, it's just the truth.
Agreed.
You know, that's why heartbreak is so difficult, because love is so great. You know.
That's, man, I'm going to put that back when I asked you about the inspirational quotes. We're going to add that one in. Beautiful.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Man. So I think what we're trying to say here is
really?
Yeah. Is put your pen away. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Put your quill and ink back in your antique drawer. Sell it on Antique Roadshow, get yourself a smartphone, and just start sliding into people's DMs. Carpe diem, mon frere.
Yeah, carpe, that is very good. Carpe diem.
I'm
if this podcast needs a shirt, it is carpe diem.
Oh, funny that you mentioned that, because shirts are on the way, and carpe diem is going to be one of the first designs.
Is it really? Holy cow. I promise you this isn't an ad that I totally was told that I was supposed to do.
Perfect. Now I have the promo video for it. And then, I'm just going to Photoshop the shirt on both of us. So,
yeah.
And then I'm going to move the mic away.
Like, it's just following me everywhere.
Oh, man. Oh,
that's so good, man. I love that. Is that the only design, or do you have multiple designs that you're doing?
I've actually written down several different designs where they're sassy, inspirational quotes.
I love it.
I have them written down somewhere, and I have a couple, and there are some good ones, but my favorite one, the cornerstone of this movement, is going to be carpe diems.
So. Yeah. Carpe diem is so good. And not only that, what's so great about that is that it's so good that it allows people who might not even know your podcast to buy it and then discover your podcast because of it.
Yes.
Which is why it's so good.
Yes. Exactly. Oh. This is why I feel like we're best friends, Mike. Just different coasts.
I think we are. I don't see why not.
Oh, man. That spark that ignited from the first podcast that we did, it never went away. A little fire is still burning in my heart for Mike Valdez. And your upside down swoosh.
I love it.
Well, yeah, Mike, we've reached the end of the podcast, and now it's time to say adieu. But before we do, I just wanted to ask you, what have you got going on? Where can people follow you? What do you want to plug?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm not sure when this is coming out, but if it is coming out anytime in April, I'm going to be at the Miami Improv April 20th. You can come see me there.
Ooh.
If you don't have COVID or if you don't believe in it. And and then other than that, you can find me on Instagram at Mike Valdez, MikeValdez. And you can find me on Twitter at I am Mike Valdez. You can go to whoismikevaldez.com to find out the answer to that question. And As far as other stuff, I mean, of course, I have my album, Mike Valdez and the Noise. The name of the album is called Dreamer. It is everywhere where albums are sold or streamed. And also my podcast, if you like nostalgia, childhood memories, all kinds of stuff. It's called Child Like It Best with Mike Valdez. Have a lot of really cool people. Stefan has been on it. I've had Christy Cello from Comedy Central, Matthew Broussard from Comedy Central, Mandy Johnson, who started the Super Serious show in Los Angeles, whole bunch of really cool people that I talked to, about childhood. And yeah, that's everything for me. If that wasn't enough, that's everything.
That was beautiful. And I think I said this on your podcast, but I love how it sounds like you're going through an existential crisis as you name your user names. Mike yeah. Valdez. I am Mike Valdez. Who is Mike Valdez? I'm not
sure. It's true.
Please tell me who is Mike Valdez.
Yeah, please.
That's my Twitter. And Snapchat yeah. is, I think I'm Mike Valdez, but I'm not
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Where is Mike Valdez?
Where yeah. in the world is Mike Valdez?
My WhatsApp is Guinness Mike Valdez, because apparently everyone who has WhatsApp is from another country. Like,
That is very true. The only people I use WhatsApp with are my Italian relatives and my wife's Brazilian family.
It's true. Every time a friend tells me, hey, you should join our group on WhatsApp, I'm like, why? Are you talking to people in Spain? What do I need WhatsApp for? You can text me.
Oh my God. It's so true.
You live in Orlando. You're 3 hours away. You're not in another country.
You're like a different zip code, bro. That doesn't mean we got to go to WhatsApp. Oh, God. Well, beautiful. All right. Well, if you want to hang out for like a minute or two after we say goodbye to the audience,
of
Mike,
course, yeah.
More than welcome to.
Yeah, man.
Audience, you guys have been amazing. You've listened, you've done the whole thing. You've allowed us to enter your ear holes and nestle ourselves in there with our words, our laughs, our chuckles, our chortles. Thank you. We love you, and we'll talk at you next week. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, feel free to move about the cabin, because the episode is over. Oh man, isn't Mike adorable, ladies and gentlemen? I feel like he and I, we just had this chemistry. We hit, you didn't hear it, but before I started recording, we just jumped into song. That was it. He was like, are we becoming best friends? And I was like, yes, we are. And it was just this whole number. We're going to submit it to Disney, except we didn't record it. Snaps. So it's just going to be kept in our hearts, resounding and throbbing in our hearts. But if you would like some resounding and throbbing, head on over to the show notes, follow Mike, listen to his podcast, Childlike at Best. Just support the crap out of him, please. He's a wonderful human being, and I just had such a good time with him. And then, if you want to keep that resounding and throbbing going, keep on throbbing. In the show notes, there's links to go follow me on Instagram, subscribe, leave a review, send me some love. I love everything, the outpouring of support. Oh, and Mike and I, we were actually just featured together on Vulture for a podcast to listen to this week. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, I can't remember, but it was awesome. So thank you for all the support. Thank you for spreading the word, the blessed word of a comedy advice podcast. And I just want to spread some smooches on you guys. That was me sliding my lips across the microphone because I said spread smooches. So that was weird. But if you guys are still hanging in there, rub you guys so much and have a wonderful day. Rub you.